Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, mercifully receive the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may know and understand what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people of Israel, "The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all your undertakings, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your soil. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, just as he delighted in prospering your ancestors, when you obey the Lord your God by observing his commandments and decrees that are written in this book of the law, because you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Surely, this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us that we may hear it and observe it?' Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us that we may hear it and observe it?' No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
We'll read the psalm antiphonally. Those on this side of the church will read the odd-numbered verses. Those on the choir side of the church will read the even-number verses. Please join me in reading from Psalm 25. "To you, O God, I lift up my soul. My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be humiliated, nor let my enemies triumph over me.
Let none who look to you be put to shame. Let the treacherous be disappointed in their schemes.
Show me your ways, O God, and teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all the day long.
Remember, O God, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting.
Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your love, and for the sake of your goodness, O God.
Gracious and upright are you. Therefore, you keep sinners in your way.
You guide the humble in doing right, and teach your way to the lowly.
All your paths are love and faithfulness. to those who keep your covenant and your testimonies.
A reading from the letter to the Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share. Who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
A lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. And who is my neighbor? Given the division and the hatred that exists in today's world, it's hard to imagine a more appropriate, more urgent gospel reading than the parable of the Good Samaritan. This parable is unique in that it only exists in the Gospel of Luke. Unlike stories such as the baptism of Jesus or the parable of the sower, it's nowhere to be found in any other gospel. And while Matthew, Mark, and Luke each reference Christ's teaching about the 2 greatest commandments, love of God and love of neighbor, Luke's gospel is the only one where Jesus provides a response to the question, "Who is my neighbor?" This is the question we'll be talking about today. Now, some of you may recall that the sitting vice president took a crack at this question in a Fox News interview. In this interview, he said that first you love your family, and then you love your neighbor, and then you love your community, and then you love your fellow citizens in your own country. And then after that, you can focus and prioritize the rest of the world. After receiving backlash for this statement, the vice president went on social media and told the world to Google Ordo Amoris, which is Latin for order of love. In his view, there's a mathematical order of operations that comes into play when it comes to deciding who we should be neighborly to. We should first love the people in close proximity to us, and then if we have the energy, we can branch out and love others. But is that what Jesus is teaching us in today's gospel? Using Vance's logic, it's clear that the priest and the Levite that ignore the man in distress should have been the ones to stop and help him. But instead of helping a fellow Jew, the priest and the Levite walk away. Meanwhile, a man from Samaria comes and restores the beaten man back to health. Could you imagine if he had said, "Sorry, friend, first I need to love my family, and then my community, then my fellow citizens, and then I can come back and help you out"? But that's not what happens. Despite the deep animosity and the mutual hostility that historically existed between Jews and Samaritans, this Samaritan offers mercy and hospitality freely and without reservation. Needless to say, Jesus does not provide a checklist of who qualifies as our neighbor. The lawyer correctly points out that the neighbor to the beaten man was the one who showed mercy. Therefore, the point Jesus is trying to make is that being a neighbor has little to do with ethnicity, religion, social status, or citizenship. Instead, it has everything to do with adopting a posture of mercy towards friend and stranger alike. Our neighbor is anyone in need of mercy. And the reality is, there isn't a human being alive on this earth who isn't in need of mercy. And yet, mercy is not always our instinctual response. Consider how easy it might be for us to criticize the lawyer for trying to test Jesus and justify himself, for struggling to accept that loving one's neighbor is ultimately the key to everlasting life. But if we're honest with ourselves, each of us has stood in the lawyer's position before. One of the deeper truths this parable lays bare is the human tendency to justify our discomfort when confronted with God's command to love others. We feel that discomfort when we recognize how often we've fallen short of affording others the same love and kindness we expect for ourselves. Consider all the times we pass a beggar on the street in the safety of our vehicles. The small moment of pity, the sense of shame we feel when we choose not to empty our wallets or even make eye contact. Instead of following Christ's command to give freely, we reach for rationalizations. Why don't they try harder to get a job? Why don't they move to a city that's less expensive? Why don't they get help for their addiction? Why did they cross the border in the first place? Wouldn't they have been better off in their own country? I don't give money because they'll probably just spend it on drugs or alcohol. Each of us, myself included, knows what it's like to be the lawyer in this story. Each of us knows what it's like to question our responsibility to love our neighbors as ourselves. And given this reality, the lawyer's question, who is my neighbor, is actually more important now than ever. Even more important is Christ's response, that we show mercy to anyone in need. This call to mercy is not abstract, nor does Jesus imply it's optional. In fact, it serves as the theological foundation of the entire Bible. Scripture is literally saturated with the idea that all of us, as images of God, are worthy of mercy and unconditional hospitality. The Jewish way of life is predicated on hospitality, as well as the desire to be a blessing for others, even those of different faiths and nationalities. The posture of mercy and hospitality is what Jesus modeled for us, and it was his expectation that his church would do likewise. The church must be a model for what it means to show mercy. As the body of Christ, the church is called to embody his presence in the world. This means offering mercy to others just as freely as Jesus offered his own body in death, the greatest act of mercy the world has ever known. Unfortunately, we too often reduce mercy into something transactional. We're taught to think of generosity mostly in terms of money, and mercy as something that lives inside the walls of a church building. I remember attending Mass recently at the Cathedral of St. Mary of the Assumption in San Francisco. The sermon was about resisting American consumerism so that we can be more inclined to give generously to the church. It was a well-intentioned, even beautiful sermon. The priest told a story about a homeless man who walked into the church, emptied his pockets, and donated every dollar and cent he had to the cathedral. It was a real-life version of the widow who gave two small coins. And yet, as moving as the story was, I remember feeling frustrated that the sermon was effectively conflating generous giving with monetary donation. And when we frame mercy and generosity only in terms of financial giving and only within the bounds of our religious institutions, we miss the larger vision that Jesus gives us. We fall into the trap of believing that the church is just a sanctuary, that God is only present in the liturgy, and that our neighbor is only the person in the pew next to us. But the church was never meant to exist for itself. Jesus lived and died not only for the righteous, but for the outcast, the sinner, and the stranger. And so if we only give to those who already belong, then the church becomes complicit in denying mercy to the very people Christ came to save. Luckily, there are many inside and outside of the church who understand this. I think of the Mexican firefighters and rescue workers who crossed the border to help with the deadly flooding in Texas, even in the face of harmful and dehumanizing rhetoric from American leaders. I think of bishops and clergy who speak out against injustice or who have offered dispensations to undocumented parishioners afraid to attend Mass for fear of ICE raids. I think of people like Bishop Marianne Buddy, who reminds us that courage and the bravery to speak out against injustice can be a profoundly powerful act of mercy in itself. Now, as Episcopalians, we of course believe that Jesus is truly present in the bread and the wine. But to fixate over his presence in the Eucharist is to forget that Jesus is sacramentally present wherever two or three are gathered in his name. He is present among the least of us and tells us that whatever we do to the least of our brothers and sisters, we do unto him. Jesus isn't just in the heart of the immigrant. Jesus doesn't just walk the road with the homeless. Christ is the immigrant. He is the unhoused person begging on the street. And so we cannot claim to love Christ any more than we love the most vulnerable among us. We cannot expect to receive God's mercy when we ourselves refuse to share it with those who are different from us. Having learned this for myself is exactly why I've been so grateful to spend my summer with the San Francisco Night Ministry. Through this work, I've learned that mercy does not wait for people to show up and ask for help. For the same reason that God became flesh, we must be willing to meet others where they are. We must be willing to bring the mercy and love of God to the very margins of society if we have to. Like the Samaritan who crossed the road to care for the wounded man, the Night Ministry has taught me that we must be willing to go where the pain is. Meeting people where they are means meeting them in their grief, in their isolation, in their addiction, and in their fear, even if only to show them that they are not alone. And one doesn't need to be a night minister or a priest to do this work. There are so many ways to be a neighbor. Checking in on someone you haven't heard from. Advocating for those on the margins. Offering resources to the unhoused. Sometimes the greatest act of mercy we can give someone is just to be present. To simply listen to someone's story without judgment. These acts of kindness may not seem radical, but in a world that so often walks to the other side of the road, sometimes the smallest act of mercy is revolutionary. And so, my friends, maybe we should stop asking, who is my neighbor? And instead ask, am I willing to be a neighbor?
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the church and for the world.
Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled. And we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, whose blessed Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of bread, open the eyes of our faith, that we may behold him in all his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Good morning. You may be seated for the announcements. We try to put most of the time-sensitive announcements in the yellow sheet that comes with your bulletin. We also send them out on Fridays, so if you're not receiving an email from us, please be in touch with the church office so we can get you on our mailing list. And then that is also a link to longer announcements if you really want to go into all the details and not everything that fits onto the yellow sheet. But first of all, of course, I want to greet and give a thank you to our seminarian, Anthony Amato. Anthony is studying at Virginia Theological Seminary and is also, as he mentioned, he's working at the San Francisco Knight Ministry this summer. That is part of what's called CPE, or Clinical Pastoral Education, and he is going to be here again. Well, I mean, he's here all summer, but he's preaching again in August, and we'll be learning more about the Knight Ministry and ways that we can contribute to that. As we talked about who is our neighbor and that question and what do we need to do to be good neighbors, one of the things that came to my mind is the book that we're reading for adult formation in the next couple of weeks and again for a couple of weeks in August. It's called The Service Berry. It's about abundance and reciprocity in the natural world. And more, many of us are seeing that the call to be a good neighbor extends to what many call the more than human community. There's a lot about that in this book. So if you're at all interested, if you are a fan of Robin Wall Kimmerer from her very, very popular book, Braiding Sweetgrass, I hope you'll come to some of these sessions. We're also letting you know about another formation opportunity. The Episcopal Peace Fellowship is offering some online webinars about the situation in Palestine and Israel. They've got some very knowledgeable speakers leading those, so there's information about how to register for those in here. We also have a lot of ways that you can be a good neighbor by through service opportunities. We have lots listed in here. I won't go through all the details, but we have a parish work day coming up. We are partnering with STAKE, the Short-Term Emergency Assistance Committee. They've been partners of ours for many years and use spaces on campus, but they're also going to be doing these kids packs, assembling those, and they can use our help if you want to get involved with that. DCMH needs a couple more St. Martin's reps. There's a safe parking program that has started up that also needs volunteers. And of course, as we try to figure out the best ways to help those who have been affected by the floods, which are really ongoing in Texas, there are links in here to online giving sources. If you need help navigating those, just let us know. But they're sort of tried and true organizations that we feel comfortable asking you to donate to. One is our own bishop's office. They have a disaster relief fund that you can contribute to. And the other is, Episcopal Relief and Development, which has been an organization doing good work on the ground for many decades. So that and much more is here in your yellow sheet. If you are new or visiting, we like to be able to offer you a little gift of hospitality, which is these goodie bags or welcome bags. Our ushers have them in the back, and they need you to raise a hand so that we can give you a goodie bag. There's no strings attached. You don't even have to introduce yourself. It's just a way for us to say thank you for coming, give you some information. And it has chocolate. I see at least one hand back there. Usually when I say chocolate, a few more people raise their hands. So there's one over up front here. I feel like there are some, yes, I'm seeing a couple more up front here. I feel like I see some faces that I don't know. So, yeah, yay, you'll get Sharon her steps in. There's one over here, and there's one on the other side as well. Great, thank you so much, and you're always welcome here. Do we have a couple of birthdays?
Oh, we have quite a few birthdays.
Oh, we have quite a few more.
Heard about a few more since the first service. So, first of all, Don Preisler's niece, Christine, sitting up here in the front, joining us from Chicago, is celebrating a birthday today. So happy birthday, Christine.
Yay!
And Juan Mateo, who I believe is also here, is celebrating a birthday this coming Tuesday, and he'll be turning 12. Ooh. And Debbie just told me that her granddaughter Isla and her great niece, whose name I didn't catch, I'm sorry, but her great niece, are also celebrating birthdays.
Oh, all right. So we have lots of birthdays. I'm trying to turn on this microphone, but I'm not doing a good job with it. Yes. Your birthday is Wednesday. Yay, Garda has a birthday coming up. Is that the 16th? Oh, excellent. Excellent. Okay, yes, in back. Your birthday is July 16th also, and way in the back. Somebody had a hand up. Yes. All right, you have a birthday coming. I like July birthdays. Yes. I have one too. Yes. You're also the 16th?
Birthday triplets.
And our anniversary is 17, 15 years.
Oh, wow. Happy anniversary. I don't know. I think Lindsay's very generous to have had her wedding so close to her birthday. I insisted on a minimum of 2 weeks apart. Sorry, Liv. Yeah.
He's 9 today.
Oh, wow. We have a lot to celebrate today. That's exciting. We have a prayer on page 6, near the top of page 6, that we say together for our celebrations and milestones. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have communion at the altar rail today. And we are doing what we've been doing for some time now, where on this side, just like we have antiphonally divided up our psalms, we also have side to side for different ways of receiving communion. On this side, we intinct, the priest intinks the host or the bread into the cup and hands it to you. If you come to this side of the altar rail, the bread and the chalice are separate. And it's up to you to decide where you want to be. So you come down the center aisle and then choose your side, and then the usher will tell you when it's time to go take place at the altar rail. You can stand at the altar rail or kneel at the altar rail, whatever works better for you. Our bread is homemade, it's gluten-free and vegan, so we try to make it as accessible to as many people as possible. You can receive in one or both kinds. You can also come forward and cross your arms, indicating you would just like to receive a blessing. And of course, if you can't come forward, let an usher know that you would like communion brought to you, and we're happy to do that. Everyone is welcome to receive communion here at St. Martin's. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them
to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, sustainer of the universe. At your command, all things came to be, shining light and enfolding dark. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. By your will, they were created and have their being. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with the capacity for memory, reason, and skill. You made us stewards of your creation. Glory to you forever and ever. But we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, born of a woman, to be our Savior. He was wounded by our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. By his death, he opened to us the way of freedom and peace. Glory to you forever and ever. Therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. Blessed are you, Lord our God, for sending us Jesus the Christ, who on the night he was handed over to suffering and death took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread and gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup of wine. He gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Glory to you forever and ever. Therefore, we who have been redeemed by Jesus Christ and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Sanctify us also, and let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Glory to you forever and ever. Pour out your Spirit upon the whole earth and make it your new creation. Gather your church together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom, where peace and justice are revealed, that we, with all your people of every language, race, and nation, may share the banquet you have promised. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, all honor and glory are yours, Creator of all. Glory to you,
glory
forever,
to you
and ever
and ever.
And now, first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amén. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Alleluia! Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore let us keep the peace. Alleluia!
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of abundance, you have fed us with the bread of life and cup of salvation. You have united us with Christ and one another, and you have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, our Comforter and Advocate, bless you and keep you in eternal love.
Amen.
Peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.